John showed us two dreadful beasts in Revelation chapter 13. He also showed that the world would wonder at the power of the beast. And they would receive a mark showing their loyalty to the beast, to the Roman beast. Then John showed the Lamb of God in Revelation chapter 14. And there we saw 144,000 along with an innumerable multitude revealed in chapter 7. With the Lamb, and they were singing a new song, and they had the mark of God on their foreheads. John also showed the wrath of God upon those who worshipped the Roman beast and whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We noticed last Lord's Day evening God's wrath in six ways, starting at verse 9 of Revelation 14. That His wrath is unmixed with mercy. That it is poured out full strength into the cup of His indignation. That it is to be tormented with fire and brimstone. That it is to be in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. That it is smoking torment that lasts forever and ever, and that it allows no rest, day or night. And John showed that God's wrath is like being trampled in God's winepress. The book of Revelation is not over. What shall we see next? Let's look at Revelation 15, which begins with these words. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Remember that this is a book of signs. No one can interpret the book of Revelation literally. Although people will say, oh, well, I take it literally. No one does that. For example, when they look at the sea beast and the earth beast of chapter 13, they'll say, well, this represents everyone. Every commentator does that. Regardless of what his method of interpretation is, that's what he'll do. Or he'll say Gog and Magog later in the book. They are Russia or something. Well, that's not taking it literally. The sea beast was a leopard with feet like a bear. You know, and a head or with a mouth like a lion and so on. That's the literal picture. But it represents something. Well, the representation continues here in chapter 15. And the sight of this sign was even more magnificent than the previous ones, because here John labeled it as great and marvelous. This sign was great and marvelous because it represented the completion of the wrath of God upon or against the oppressive Roman Empire. Seven angels had the seven last plagues. Are these the last plagues for earth or for the Roman Empire? Well, the vision for quite some time now has been about Rome. And the end of the earth will come suddenly, not in a progression of events, as is shown with these plagues. And also chapter 16 will make it apparent that these were the last plagues for the Roman Empire. In these seven plagues, The wrath of God was complete. 7 is a number of completion and perfection. So it is fitting that it's in this book of symbolism, the book of Revelation. Now, watch the sign as John lets it unfold before us. Verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Look at a sea of glass, and there is fire mingled with it. Glass is made with fire. For those who endure or withstand the fires of tribulation, they shall come out as beautiful as a sea of glass mingled with fire. And they'll even be standing on it in the end. Well, you heard what Lake read just a few moments ago from 1 Corinthians 3 of the fire that we all endure and that our works endure. Let me read those words again that you might now put them in context with Revelation 15. The saints who are revealed there in Revelation 15 had endured some fires of persecution. But Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that this is a thing that's true for all people, not just those who face the beast of the Roman Empire. Starting at verse 11, Paul said, For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. If we endure the fires of this life, what do we get? Well, listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us here when He moved John to write the words of Revelation 15, verse 2, especially on to verse 4, which we have yet to look at. But look at the picture again here in verse 2 of Revelation 15. The symbol that John wants us to see was a sea, but not of water. Rather, it's of glass. Probably flat and shiny rather than all broken up. But it's flat and shiny. And now see fire mixed in that glass. And there was something on the fiery glass. It was a large gathering of people. They were those who have the victory, John said, over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name. In other words, they were Christians who refused to bow before the Roman beast and paid for it with their lives. They had harps of God because they were ready to make music to God. I mean, these people have been through the fire. They have been through the battle with the mighty Roman Empire, and they're ready to sing, to make music. And they had good reason for doing so. They had been through the fierce fires of Roman persecution. Then they get to do something that is of supreme pleasure. Now, this is a very peaceful image, and it may not seem to fit a group of people who have just come through battle. However, when people follow the Lamb wherever He goes, their victory is total and complete over their enemies, in this case, the beast. So it makes sense that they have harps of God while standing on a sea of glass mingled with fire after having done battle with the ferocious beasts of the Roman Empire. You have the world's superpower persecuting you to the point of death, and not just a quick death, but a horrible death in many cases, by crucifixion, by having animals tear you apart in the Roman Colosseum, and many other things, horrible things they did. You go through that, and you end up in a new arena. But this is the arena of God, where He's not there to watch you be torn apart by lions, but to hear you sing to Him. Man, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to make music to your God. And look at the song they're singing. We're even told the words to the song in verses 3 and 4. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are Your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear You, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before You. For Your judgments have been manifested." Well, I wonder what that song is going to sound like. We know the words. What shall it sound like? What shall it sound like when it accompanies these harps? With their harps, they get to sing. They gained a great victory over a terrible enemy, and their celebration naturally comes out in singing. And you know something, brethren? We don't have to wait until heaven to sing and rejoice. But let our singing now reflect the joy that we have now. Are you not fighting battles against your own sin and temptation? Is not the world assaulting you? Yet, here we are today, worshiping God with the saints. We have our struggles just like they did. And then they worshiped God. And what are we doing right now? We're worshiping God. So sing with your whole heart. And song leaders, please don't drag us down. Keep up the pace, that our songs will truly show the joy that we're singing with these words. The saints in Revelation 15 sang the song of Moses and of the Lamb. The song of Moses is found in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 18. And the song there is very similar in nature to the song that's found here. Let me just read a few scattered verses from Exodus 15. Listen to verses 1 and 2. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him.' verses 6 and 7. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You set forth your wrath, it consumed them like stubble. And then verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Now, it's also the song of the Lamb back in Revelation 15 because He is our leader. And Christians overcome the beasts they fight through the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, we praise and worship Him in song. Now, here is the beauty of this psalm. The Israelites did not confront the beast of Rome. Yet, evidently, there they were on the fiery sea of glass. That's why it's also called the Song of Moses. Because Moses and his people are there. Likewise, we have not stood up to the sea beast of Rome, but we stand up to other beasts, so that even as the ancient Israelites are there, so we will be also, singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. In the psalm, verse 3, they glorified the works of God because they said they are great and marvelous. Even as John had said in verse 1, that this sign was great and marvelous. One of God's great and marvelous works is the victory that He gives us over evil. When we stand up against a mighty enemy and come out victorious, we credit God. We honor God. We glorify God. We worship God. They glorify God, they said in the psalm, because His ways are just and true. The ways of the beast are corrupt and false. In a battle between corruption and falsehood against justice and truth, the justice and truth of God will win every single time. No exception. Regardless of the situation and regardless of the time in history. God's justice and truth will always win. Therefore, do not lose heart. Be patient. Obey the commandments of God and live for the faith of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I think the question of verse 4 here in Revelation 15 makes sense. Who is the one who will not fear and glorify God? Who would be so foolish as not to fear God and glorify Him? Do they not know God? For surely if they did understand Him, if they did know Him, they'd fear Him and glorify Him, just as these people are doing in Revelation 15. As these saints sang in explanation, God should be feared and glorified because, number one, He alone is holy. Number two, all nations shall come and worship before Him. And number three, His judgments are manifested. Man, just get a hold of those three things. Dwell on those for the rest of the week. And you'll learn to fear God, and you'll learn to glorify Him in everything that you do. Remember last week, I showed you Revelation 14, verse 7, that there's an angel flying through heaven, and he's proclaiming with a loud voice the everlasting gospel. And here's what he said in Revelation 14:7. fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who has made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. And besides, brethren, is not glorifying God our aim anyway? I mean, do I wait till I stand on that fiery sea of glass to glorify God? No. Whether I eat or drink or whatever I do all to the glory of God. As Paul stated we should be doing in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Now let's see what happens next, verses 5 and 6. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in bright, pure, bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. God just continued to reveal the activities of heaven. I mean, up to this point, I mean, it just seems like there's been so much revealed. And yet we know there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. How much more shall we see? And how much more has God not revealed to us? What does John see? The temple was opened. In verse 1, John had told us about these angels, and he didn't mention them again. Now he brings them up again. And here we see them because the time was right for the wrath of God to begin on the beast of Rome. The seven angels had the seven plagues. They were clothed in bright, pure linen, even as a woman, a beautiful woman, will be later in Revelation. Also, their chests were girded with golden bands, like the glorified Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. And then John says this in verse 7. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. God ordered one of the living creatures to give these angels bowls full of His wrath. And He would unleash His wrath in successive stages. Not all at once. But for His own purposes and in His wisdom, He wanted it done in seven different stages. The golden bowls of wrath were full of God's wrath because He gave to the beast the full measure of the wrath that the beast deserved. God, John said, is the one who lives forever and ever, not the beast. The beast thought that he was God, but he forgot that his number is only 666. Falling short of the perfect God who would use seven angels with seven plagues in seven bowls to pour out His perfect seven-ish wrath, because God is seven. 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 And look what happens to the temple in verse 8. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. stand back, smoke from the glory and power of God is filling the temple. Even the great man Moses could not enter the tabernacle in the wilderness when the glory of God filled it. In fact, even in heaven, the smoke of God's glory and power is so awesome that no one in heaven was able to enter the temple. Surely the creatures up in heaven, Michael the archangel, Gabriel, how about the four living creatures? Can't they, who are so much greater than we are, can they not enter the temple? No. Not when God's glory is filling it. Not when God's power is filling it. The smoke itself is so awesome, so thick, so strong, that not even those mighty, holy creatures up in heaven can enter the temple. How long would this smoke last? Because we do know that at other times, others can enter the temple. We can enter the temple. Well, it would last until the plagues on Rome were completed. And that meant this, that the time to intercede for Rome had ended. That's why the temple's closed. No one could enter the temple on Rome's behalf. No, it was time for the angels to release the plagues of God. And you know something, brethren? God is exceedingly patient. But His patience is not endless. Do not push God. Let none of us be found to be pushing God before or beyond His patience. Let our nation not push God beyond His patience. For once that time arrives, it is too late for redemption. Therefore, be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know if we have tomorrow. Today is the day to do something about it. Stand up to the evil forces of this world now. Yes, it might be costly. It was for our brethren ages ago. But they willingly paid the price. Be willing to suffer anything. Suffer anything for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, the enemy will appear to be powerful, but do not fear the enemy. Get filled with the fear of God, and you shall fear no one, and you shall fear no thing. Fear God and Him alone. And watch what it does to your soul. You might be surprised at yourself, at the boldness and courage you then have. Are you ready to obey the Lord today, having never done so before? Are you ready to become a Christian? Why not be baptized at the end of this sermon? We'll offer an invitation. And if you're ready, you can come forward when we sing. And you can become a New Testament Christian today. Come forward now as we stand and sing.